great, great friends. He's also our district youth director. So if you don't know, the siblings over here, why are we fighting? What's going on? Yeah, I will. I forgot. I will karate chop a shin. Okay, now before I introduce our friend, a couple announcements. I do know that we have 3 Pulse peeps that gave their life to Jesus in like the last week and a half, which is stinking awesome, okay? And one of the first steps of faithfulness and obedience on the other side of giving your life to Christ is being baptized in water. And so we have a baptism happening during one of our Wednesday gatherings in December 21st. You can sign up at hope.church/baptism. If you can't remember that or you're not doing it right now for some crazy reason, just come ask one of your leaders and we can help you get signed up. We want to get you baptized. We're all going to join that for that midweek gathering so we can celebrate baptism together and that next step in Christ. And I want to just see if you haven't given or you haven't been baptized before, but you've confessed your faith in Christ, you've just never gone through that public act of obedience to him in baptism, you should sign up for that as well. Everyone should be baptismed, and it's amazing. Get baptismed, okay? So cool. And then, is next week Halloween? Is that what my watch is telling me? Ooh. So Pulse peeps, if you want to come in your costumes, like we could do a whole Pulse peep party, the spooky Pulse peep Halloween bonanza. Come, we'll have some candy, we'll hang out in our costumes. I gotta think about what I would be. Gotta think through that. But just know, invite your friends to Pulse next week. It's gonna be a lot of fun. We're gonna have a good time. And you know, whenever you're doing something like that, wearing a costume, doing something fun, sometimes it's just that one barrier that needs to be removed for your friend to say yes to come be a part of this. And we wanna grow the Pulse family. Amen. Amen. So without further ado, I want to introduce you to my good friend. I'm not going to say their name yet because he'll start clapping because you guys are all excited. No, hey. I have known him for over 7 years now. Pastor Sean, Dr. Sean, he is our district youth director. So he used to work here. This was where he pastored. He was the youth pastor here. I served with him. And then now he's over a bunch of different church, like student ministry and kids ministry for a bunch of different Assemblies of God churches across Oregon. If you went to summer camp, Sean helped put that on. If you went to Oregon Youth Convention, Sean helped make that happen. And a bunch of other things that we'll be a part of. So, Pulse peeps, you know how we do. Would you give a warm Pulse standing ovation for Dr. Sean Silberry?
Yes. I have a couple of neighbors here. It's hilarious. There's so many things. Thank you guys for the standing O.
Hey, Sean.
Yes.
There's Pete. Wow, that's really loud.
What's that?
There's pizza.
Oh, let's give it up for the VIP couch and the pizza man or woman coming through. Let's give it up. If they're, wait, hold on a second, they're not here. Yeah, it is. Give it up. There's pizza for the VIPers. Last week, you guys brought some friends, and therefore you get pizza. I think that's awesome. Do we have one more week, or is this the last week?
We have one more week.
We have one more week. So, like, bring your friends, right? That's what it's about, right there. I'm echoey. Is it me? Oh, okay, you know it. Okay, good. That's cool. I have a lot of things to say right now. All right, Pulse peeps. So here's the deal. 30 and 30 kicks off November 1st. How many of you guys were at Oregon Youth Convention, OIC? Oh, a lot of you. Most of you. That's amazing. Okay, we kicked off this thing, 30 and 30. Here's the deal. As of right now, I think that Pulse, you're either the number one or number two giving youth ministry in our state for Speed the Light. So, yeah. So, it's not a competition, but it is because partly, okay, so I challenge youth ministries to beat this youth group. I'm not going to lie. I'll go all the way down to Klamath Falls. I said this to a youth ministry about the same size, same church is about the same size, maybe a little smaller. And I said, don't let my old youth group beat you. But reality is, I'm pinning everybody against each other, so it's fantastic. So, but here's the deal. You guys, well, first of all, let me say, we'll be the first to give $30. My wife is doing it right now. So we're giving $30 right now, and it'll credit your youth ministry. Okay? So we're doing it right now. Pastor Khalil has given a great challenge. If you all brought, check this out. I did the math, which isn't good because I don't do math well. But if every one of you in this room brought $30 next week, you would raise over $1,500 just like that. Just like that. $1,500 for the Schultzes. And right now, we're actually paid off the Schultzes because you guys gave, and many other youth ministries, we were able to pay off their vehicle like 2 months ago. We're about halfway there with the Craigs. They're going at some point, they're I'm not being recorded, I hope not. But they're going hopefully this year to where they're supposed to go. We can't, it's sensitive material, and so I can't say where. But the fact that we are this close to being able to give them a vehicle, so they will have a vehicle right when they get to their destination. How amazing is that? Because of what we did at OIC, we were able to launch that, catapult that, and you guys are a part of it, and they're seeing people come to know Jesus because of you. Do you understand? This is huge. And then, so I think there's two youth groups. There's two youth groups in the Portland area that have decided that they want to raise $15,000 in November together. I think that Pulse can match what they give. That's what I think. So if each one of them gives $7,000 or whatever, I think you guys can do more than $5,000. Don't get all excited too quickly. You guys are doing awesome. I think you're going to, Khalil and I have talked about this. You guys are going to smash your $20,000 goal. It's going to happen. There's some great momentum. You guys are, you get it. You get the idea of generosity. And it's not that we all give like, Jesus, whatever you want to do, Lord. Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's fantastic. No worries. Let's do this, maybe on the side. That's better. I'll grab the marker later. It's okay. Anyway, so thank you. I appreciate that. it's not that if you look at the giving across our state over the last year that I get the chance to do that, it's everybody gives different amounts. It's not the amount that matters. It's the sacrifice and the generosity that matters. You guys are a very generous youth ministry. I love you guys. I'm so excited about what's going to happen in the future. So how are you guys doing? Is everybody doing okay? Nice to meet you. Tired and neck hurting. Okay. It's fantastic. Any child that says they're tired, I'm like, child, please. Like, child, please. You are the reason I am tired because I have children. How many of you don't know who I am? Lying. Okay, fantastic. So the people that really don't know who I am didn't raise their hands or something. Here's what I want to do. Babe, did I say everything I wanted to say about that? Okay, cool. I would like for you guys to break off into groups. Don't, like, go anywhere. Just kind of turn in with your chairs. Adults, leaders, if you can kind of help out too. With 3 to 5 of you, if there's 2 of you, fine. That's fine, but preferably 3 to 5. And I want you to open your Bible to Matthew 22. You guys are in this Matthew series. You guys have been going through Matthew. Okay, we're in Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Okay, verses 1 through 14. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to read verses 1 through 14. If you're on your phone, you can get on your phone. You get on a physical Bible, you get on your physical Bible. And then I've got 3 questions I want you to wrestle with after you read Matthew 22, verse 1 through 14. 22, verse 1 through 14. And think through this. What stands out to you? What surprised you and why? These will be on the screen, by the way. What is difficult to make sense of, okay? We'll have them on the screen. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Yes, you are welcome. Matthew 22, verses 1 through 14. Better save me a piece of pizza. I'm going to get crazy. Okay? As you read it together, think about these three questions. Matthew 22. Okay. All right, let's wrap it up. Really quickly, this I was reminded of something. And the morning session of OYC of Saturday morning when I spoke, I just did a 10 or 12 minute devotional. If you guys remember the story I told about running into a pole, that was the pole right there. That's the pole. It was pitch black in this room. This was like 3 years ago, 4 years ago. It's pitch black in this room, and I was going. I was going. On purpose, babe, I didn't want to tell any. And I'm going, and I ran right dead into that pole. And that doesn't move. Something else is going to move, and it wasn't the pole. Anyway, I nailed that thing. I laughed at myself. No one's in here. I laughed at myself. I think Khalil was upstairs, but anyway. Yeah. No one is in the room, unless you were hiding somewhere. You might have been hiding or something. It was on. You were at school. Okay, what stands out? Oh, wait, real quick. So this is what's going on. So Jesus is continuing his demonstrating this huge theme that's taking place and will continue to take place after Matthew 22. And it's this theme of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Say kingdom of God. Okay, so yeah, good. So he's talking about this, and he's picking up on this language still. He's in as he marches towards the cross, where he's going to be crucified and all that. He'll continue to chat about this theme. As you get into Matthew 23, Matthew 24, and 25, he'll talk about the afterlife and like what that's like. What does it look like? Death. What happens after this world, things like that, and kingdom-related stuff. But anyway, before we kind of dive into a little bit of Matthew 22, what stood out? Let's just talk about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it stands out, or it doesn't make sense, or both. Sometimes they overlap. Excellent. Okay, what else? Yes, go ahead. Well, yeah, he's choosing not to, right, he's choosing not to do things as were laid out for them to do. It's a huge symbol, yes, absolutely. Yep. You're the only one that way. Okay, yeah. So the garments. Can you guys hear okay? The AC kicked on right. So the wedding garments. Right. That also stood out. Good. 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 Everyone's invited. Okay. One more. What else? What else stood out? Anything else before we go on to the surprise? Okay. What surprises you? Go ahead. Go ahead. Right. you get destroyed, and you get destroyed, and your cities are destroyed, too. It's not just you. Yeah. Wow. It's pretty serious about this, huh? So that's surprising. Destruction. What else? Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. Hadassah, right? Yeah. Dude thrown out. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. That's how you spell dude, okay? How about this side? How about right here? What surprises you guys? What surprised you? Anybody right in here? Anybody? Even the adults. Or up here, okay. And then we'll go to Michael. Mm-hmm. Yep. Peep said, no way. Okay, Michael. Or, okay, we'll go, JJ. Are you go by that now? I don't know. You're so little. I've known him since he was my son's age. It's so crazy. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to embarrass you, dude. Go ahead. I'm sorry. That was my bad. It's just so good to see you. I don't know. Every time I see you, I'm like, yay. Go ahead, man. Yeah. It is. You're right. That's right. That's awesome. Okay, good. Go ahead. Yeah. Yeah. Almost.
Why do you write your deeds like that? Oh, wait, there are arrows.
Yeah, last one.
They invited good and evil people.
Yeah.
I figured that since it was the banquet for God's son, they would have invited bad people. But they invited both, so yeah. I'm okay with the trying to do here.
Good. Good. Okay, what about what's difficult? What was really difficult? They could kind of, some of it can overlap as well. Killing people? What? Destruction? Yes. Miguel. Yeah. Yeah.
Why not, though?
Yes. More destruction. Good. Good. Okay. You. No, okay, good. Okay, fantastic. Yeah.
It says the king was enraged and sent his troops to kill those murderers and burn down their city.
Let's just look at verse 7. Yes. 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, a city in the ancient world, what did a city represent? When you go to a city and enter into a different town or a city, what kind of feelings do you get depending on the city? Every town has a culture, doesn't it? Absolutely. Have you ever been to places other than Albany? You recognize it's very different. You go to Portland, it's different than Pendleton. You go to Pendleton, it's different than Baker City. Baker City is different than Corvallis. Corvallis is, it all carries with it a certain culture, a certain modus operandi, a way of doing things, right? And so oftentimes, especially in the ancient world, the city represented a way of life and what, and it also represented who that the people were, how they governed themselves, especially in a patriarchal society. So if a king of a certain town or city did things a certain way, like murdered people who came, and this is a parable, okay? So let's dive into this a little bit. This is great. We're not going to be able to answer everything, but what you're doing is you've started an inductive study. Say inductive study. You're asking these questions, and you're learning, and you're growing, and you're trying to dive deeper. So you don't just start here and end here. This is a beginning portion. This is a beginning point. And so we continue to ask the questions and research and search and look for responses. And, okay, what is Jesus saying here? What does he mean by this? Okay, what's the culture? We'll get into that in a second. So this sounds like a crazy story. Jesus, I want my fluffy Jesus. I want the Jesus that culture says. Culture says Jesus isn't mean. He didn't say things that are hard. He doesn't say things that are difficult that I have to wrestle with. Oh, but he does. But he does. Right? Wait, Jesus, isn't my nice teaching. Where are you at? Don't you floating around and like touching people on the shoulders saying, I love you and I love you and I love you, right? Where's a hand down? All right. So, like, where is that Jesus, right? What the heck? I mean, I'm sure Khalil, Pastor Khalil, you guys have done this, been doing this study on Matthew. You've seen a lot of stuff that Jesus says that was actually really exclusive as well as inclusive at the same time. All right. So let's just chat a little bit. What is a parable? Does anybody know what a parable is? You know what a parable is? Okay, go ahead. My neighbor. Okay, short story within me, or a story that animates a truth. Yeah, good, good. Yeah, it animates a truth. So we need to understand a little bit of history before we dive in. It's good to kind of do a little background and see what's going on here. What do we know about Jesus? What nationality is he? Yes. Jewish. He's Jewish. He's Middle Eastern. He's from Nazareth. He's not white, no. He's not a white dude, no. Yeah, what else do we know about Jesus? What? Yeah, Hebrew. He's from the tribe of Judah. Like, you can track his lineage, yeah. He's a human. Thank you. That's fantastic. Okay, who is Jesus' audience here? Who is he talking to? I mean, yeah, that's not wrong. But let's go current time, right here. You know, AD whatever, 30. What's that? The past, yeah. Farmers, yeah. Pharisees are a part of it, yep. Wait, say it nice and loud, Michael. He's talking to Jews who are farmers, who are Pharisees and everything in between. They're metal workers, they're carpenters, they're stay-at-home moms, there's all... And dads, he's talking to Jewish people. Okay, here's where it gets fun. I have a slide for you guys. So this is a parable, an animation, an allegory, if you will, of what, of the kingdom of God in one sense. So let's go ahead and go to the next, I think it's the one that says king. Okay, so king is the creator, Father God, right? That's who the king represents. All right? Remember, he's talking to Jewish people. Okay, the son is Jesus. We get this quickly. You look at this, he's talking about himself. Kind of fun. In a parabolic way. Okay? Now, who are the servants? Anyone have a guess? Who are the servants? Good, Connor. Good guess, but no. Remember, the servants go out to bring in and gather people into the kingdom. Good guess, but no.
The disciples.
Kind of. Okay. Yeah, we'll get to that. Yes. That's okay. We'll come back. Yeah. Good guess, but no. Was that yours, Connor? Did you? Nope, but good guess. Okay, let's go to the, I think I have the answer in the next slide, Khalil. Prophets. Okay, who were the Israelites? They had this massive nation, right? They're the prophets are heralds of the ways of Creator God, possibly disciples, Lauren. Good job. Possibly the disciples. People like John the Baptizer. John comes, and we can read all about him in Luke. You can read about him in all of the Gospels, okay? But that is most likely who that is, but definitely the prophets. What did the prophets do? They spoke on behalf of Creator God. They said, repent, constantly calling Israel to come back to into right relationship, righteousness with Creator God. So Jesus is animating Israel's present situation by utilizing story and narrative and metaphor. So he's analyzing in front of these Jewish people, this Jewish audience. And this is Jesus once again calling out the Jewish people to not miss what is happening right before their eyes. Okay, so feasts. Look at the wedding feast. What the heck? Feasts were huge. They were big in that day. 7 days long they would usually last, especially if it was a wedding feast. Okay. So feasts for the Jewish people were so huge, and feasting and celebration, they go hand in hand. So the greatest of those celebrations was something that the Jewish people were waiting and waiting and waiting for, and that was the Messiah to come. Prophesied about over and over and over again in the First Testament. So the greatest, let's do this, feast that they were hoping that would happen is to celebrate the Messiah coming and establishing the kingdom. Establishing the kingdom. The will and ways of Creator God as they should have been from our origin stories, Genesis chapters 1 and chapters 2. As things should have been. In essence, they wanted the feast about the coming of this kingdom and to accept his rule and will. But what does Jesus say happens? What does Jesus say happens here? So what happens is throughout the Old Testament or the First Testament, say Old Testament. Okay, now say First Testament. Oh, yeah. So we see the wickedness of humanity, y'all. Read Judges. Read 1 Kings, 2 read 2 Kings. Read these Old Testament or First Testament books. We see the wickedness, the unfaithfulness of Israel, the rebellion, the desire to rule themselves apart from Creator God. This is a problem as old as Eden. Genesis, the first few chapters of Genesis, where the first humans, the created, declared that they knew better than their creator. And we have been declaring this ever since, you guys. We've been declaring this ever since. I have two sons, okay? I have two sons. I think I have a picture of them, too. These are kind of recent. Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. It's the truth. So I have Micah right in the middle here on these two pictures, and on the outsides is Canaan. Canaan is my second. Oh, man, it's awesome. Canaan, my middle son, is awesome and amazing, and I love him more than he can comprehend or ever will be able to comprehend or will ever be able to understand. But there's something he likes to do on occasion. He likes to rebel from his parents. It's true. Almost any time I bring about correction or discipline or instruction or try to guide him into the proper way to respond and act, the proper behavior, if you will, or the way the way or the path that we have are carving out for him that he would hopefully walk in. Every time we do that, he lashes out at me, almost every time. And my mom, and his mom, sorry, my mom, his mom. And sometimes it comes to a place where he says to me or to Ashley, "That's it, I'm out of here." And he walks to the door. Not joking, he does it. He says, "That's it, I'm out of here." And he stomps and he goes to the door and he tries to get out, to the point where we have put a latch on the top of the door because he walks out the door. Jesus is placing his finger on the human predicament. Hang with me, guys. I won't be too much longer because I'm hungry. I know you are. I know you are. Okay. Okay. Stay with me. You guys with me? Okay, let's go 5 minutes. We're gonna break this down, and then we'll be done. Okay, let's go 8 minutes. Got it? All right. This story that Jesus is weaving is our story as well as Israel's. We can easily relate. If my son was able to get out of the house and run away, could he survive? Yeah, probably. I mean, he'd probably survive. I mean, he'd be okay. I think. Is he able to make it out there in the world? I mean, he might. I don't know. Probably. I suppose he could. But what's he missing out on? A major issue I sometimes see with Christians in America is that we aren't aware of how great our rebellion can be. I'll speak for myself that my sin does not grieve my heart like it should. Listen. That my potential to make a mess of my life and those around me does not move me toward remorse and sorrow to get right with my Father God. It doesn't move me like it should. When I recognize my sin, missing the mark and standard for living that's set up by Creator God originally, I am able to experience and enjoy the grace, love, kindness, joy, peace, and satisfaction that the kingdom of God offers. Not only that, we are placed on mission to partner with Holy Spirit. Pastor Khalil mentioned it earlier, as soon as you come into a relationship with Jesus, you are set on mission with him. And it's the greatest mission and ever that this world will ever know. The Holy Spirit's active in the world. He's always drawing people toward right relationship with Creator God, and we get to be a part of that. To be a part of the kingdom of God is to be realigned with the work we were created for. We were made for, to be pockets of heaven wherever we go, in all that we say, in everything that we do. This is true fulfillment. This is where we find true fulfillment, and Jesus is pulling this out, saying, "Wake up! Wake up, Israel! What happened to the prophets? They killed them. They killed prophets and servants of God all the time. Jeremiah, one of the most famous of them all. He killed him. Well, it's a bummer. True fulfillment is found under the authority of Master King Jesus in living out my God-given calling. We're not going to get to everything here, guys. But this is the main idea that Jesus is really pulling out here. It's wake up. Wake up. The kingdom is here. The kingdom is here. Don't come. The good and bad come. And the person who is in rebellion comes. And Jesus spots them out and says, "You're not here for the right reasons. You have not bent a knee to me. You're not wearing the right clothing. Be gone. I don't know you. You out." As Canaan opens the door, many thoughts roll through my head. He might be fine on his own. Like we talked about it. He might be fine on his own. For a time, bits at a time. There'll be some times where he would, if he was out on his own at the park, you know, about 150 yards away, might be a little rough. There might be some times where he's fine, but he forfeits all the blessings and promises, all the good, all the joy, all the protection, all the opportunities that come with submitting to his mom and dad's rule and authority. My son forfeits all that if he chooses to do life his way and not ours. Someone in here, you've been ignoring the invitation to the table, to the wedding banquet. Some of you have ignored it. Some of you, you've decided to come, but with your own pretenses. You've come and everyone's invited, but you've come and you've not yet surrendered to Jesus' authority. Maybe you've decided to walk to the front door to do life based, on what culture says, what a friendship group says, what a TikTok, whatever social media guru says, or whatever it might be. Don't forget this. Everyone bends the knee in submission to an author and authority figure. Everybody does. We all serve and submit our life to someone or something. Cultural movement, what's popular and normalized in our culture, what's seen as the place to place my identity in, or Jesus. So I'll say this, any author and authority figure outside of Jesus will only entrap and enslave you, only. But Jesus offers a better way, the kingdom way, and he's calling all people, rebels, misfits, knuckleheads, sinners alike, all of us, to come and be a part of the kingdom. Will we choose? Will we choose to bend a knee in submission and authority to him? Or will we choose not to? Will we walk away from the invitation? Will we ignore the invitation? Or will we come to the table? Jesus tells his disciples, his first followers in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life, that there is no other way, path, guru, movement, relationship that brings you in right standing with Creator God. Nothing else than Jesus Christ. He's the only way. He's the best way. He's the best master. So, Nichols, you can come on up and just strum a little bit. Just a little. We're not going to do any singing or anything like that. We're just going to do some listening and responding and examining our hearts. And I challenge you guys. I challenge you. I encourage you. Come to the table. Come to the wedding banquet. Kneel in submission to Jesus if you haven't done it. Some of us in here, I look at this story and I think of all the church kids that I grew up with that were at the banquet. All the kids, they were at youth group every week. This is when I was in youth group, okay? I was like 14, 15, 16, all that. They were there, but they were there for the wrong reasons. Or they were around, but they didn't care about the things of Jesus, and they didn't care to give their life over to him. There's always that. We always have that. I would call to you and say, come and see how good it is to live for Jesus, to walk with him. Maybe there's a barrier. Maybe there's something there. There's some difficulties here. I get it. Wrestle with those together in community here at Pulse. This is what's so great about being a part of a youth ministry, a part of a youth group, part of a church. You can wrestle with things. You don't have to do it by yourself. So there's a couple of questions. I think I have them in a slide. Am I searching for significance and value and identity in something or someone instead of Jesus? I'm not going to tell you a lamb. I'm 37. Every day, I ask myself this question, something like this. It may not be exactly like this, because I have wrestled with this. I struggle with this. I want people to like me, right? I find my value in my performance, how good I do my job, how good I am as a friend or a husband or a father, and I plant myself on, at times, my identity in those things, all kinds of other things. Am I finding my identity and value and fulfillment, Jesus, in you or someone else or something else. Because all of those things cannot deliver on the promises that they give us. It will not deliver. And then the second is, what is an obstacle or barrier to submitting to Jesus' authority? Oftentimes, this is fun. I'm not afraid of obstacles, guys. I'm not afraid of these. I'm not afraid of it. Jesus isn't either. Oftentimes, barriers, obstacles, things that come up against the authority of Jesus or that I'm confused about, when I lean into that, it's how I grow. That's how I grow. If I lean into Jesus and say, man, I'm really struggling with this. There's a barrier here. Here's an obstacle here. Here's an identity issue here. Here's what I'm struggling with over here, Jesus. Here's a value issue here. What are those barriers or obstacles to submitting to Jesus? And often these barriers are opportunities. These obstacles are opportunities to draw near to him. To draw near to him. So just take a moment. I'd love for everybody to just kind of close your eyes real quick. You don't have to bow your heads. If you want to, you can. But just kind of close your eyes and think about these two questions. And then Pastor Khalil will come up. Did they call you Pastor Khalil? Or is it PK? Yeah, okay. The nicknames? Okay. I just want to, don't be nudging your neighbor. I know you guys got pizza back there and stuff. But just focus for a second. Just focus up. As Nichols plays a little bit. Think about these questions. Is there, Holy Spirit, reveal to each and every one of us. Tap us on the shoulder. Reveal the idols. Reveal the things that we have allowed to sit on the throne of our hearts. It's only made for you to sit there. That we have allowed to be the authority of our lives. Reveal right now, Jesus, I pray, by your Spirit. And I encourage you to write those things down. Whatever they may be. For me, it's performance anxiety. Finding my value in what everybody else says and thinks about me. I challenge you to write those things out on your phone at some point tonight. Journal.